You are about to hear the best of Radio 8 Ball on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. This episode was recorded on
September 6th, 2007,
with our musical guest,
Dr. Ralph Metzner.
Regardless of when this episode was recorded, you are hearing it now, or are about to, and you would do yourself a profound service to invest what you are about to hear with all the intention you can muster. And welcome to Radio 8 Ball, the Pop Oracle, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting these randomly chosen songs as the answers to the questions, like picking musical tarot cards. My name is Andras Jones, and I'm the host of Radio 8 Ball. I like to think of this show, whether it's on the radio or live on stage, as calisthenics for the part of our mind that recognizes synchronicity. Synchronicity, after all, is not a sporadic phenomenon. It's a constant, and sometimes we notice it. When we do, our lives get richer and more fun. And when we use music as an interface, well, that's just plain groovy. Today's special guest is author and professor Dr. Ralph Metzner, who has a lot to share on the topic of divination and synchronicity. I'll be telling you more about him in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors.
This hour of the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk 1150 AM was brought to you by the Olympia Cloud Council, providing overcast skies to the state capital since 1970.
This is Daniel Pinchbeck, and you're listening to Radio 8 Ball with Andras Jones.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back to the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer questions by picking songs at random. Our guest on today's show is Dr. Ralph Metzner. Ralph Metzner has been involved in the study of transformations of consciousness ever since, as a graduate student, he worked with Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert, later Ram Dass, on the Harvard Psilocybin projects. He co-wrote The Psychedelic Experience and was editor of The Psychedelic Review. During the 1970s, Ralph spent 10 years in the intensive study and practice of Agni Yoga, a meditative system of working with light, fire, life energies. He wrote Maps of Consciousness, one of the earliest attempts at a comparative cartography of consciousness, and Know Your Type, a comparative survey of personality typologies, ancient and modern. He was the academic dean for 10 years during the 1980s at the California Institute of Integral Studies, where he taught courses there on altered states of consciousness and developing ecological consciousness. He is now professor emeritus. He maintains a part-time psychotherapy practice and conducts numerous workshops on consciousness transformation, both nationally and internationally. His books include The Well of Remembrance, The Unfolding Self, Green Psychology, and two edited collections on the science of and the phenomenology of ayahuasca and he's going to have to help me with this word, and I'm just going to have to have him come on the air now. Ralph Metzner, welcome to Radio 8 Ball.
Hi, good to be here.
What was that last word?
Teonanacatl.
Teonanacatl.
The Aztec name for the ancient mushroom.
Ah.
Oh.
So, welcome to Radio 8 Ball. And
okay.
This is your first experience here with the form of pop music divination we do.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You have
sounds really interesting.
You have a fairly deep background in divination of other sorts.
Right. Well, I teach something I call alchemical divination, and alchemy to me is like shamanism and like yoga. Those three are sort of identical, and actually my method derives from all three. It's the core of divination is asking questions in order to obtain answers to your questions about healing and guidance for your life. And usually people think of it like with the I Ching or the Tarot or accessories, and you're using this method, which I have not experienced before. It sounds intriguing, of using a song to decode the answer, so to speak. And the way I teach them is it's a meditative process. So you go within and you contact your own sources of inner wisdom or intuition or something like that.
Both sort of, I mean, they all seem to have what's in common is some way of sort of tricking our minds out of
right. Exactly.
Looking at things the way that we always look at things.
Exactly, right. And you lay out the cards, or you pick a song, or you do the I Ching, or something like that. But in shamanic and alchemical divination, you go into a mild altered state. So you might use a drumming or a rattle, a rhythmic sound like that. Or in some ways, they use magic plants or mushrooms or something like that, which we don't do. Obviously not going to do on the air either.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the core, see, the process is always asking a question. You know, so that's different from the way some people taking a psychedelic drug, for example. It's not a matter of taking a drug and seeing what the drug does. It's like you ask a question, and then you use the substance, if you're using that method, to amplify your perception and your understanding. But the process is the same. Or if you're using the drumming journey, you go on a drumming journey, but you don't start on the journey until you have a clear question. The question is like the intention or the goal. Like you wouldn't go to an airplane and to an airport, get on a plane without first having an idea in your mind of where you want to go. It would be pretty random. So that's the basic idea. It's very simple, really. And even for questions like healing or questions about the past always relate to healing. And questions about the future relate to guidance. So when you go to a doctor, you ask a question. You go to a psychologist, you ask a question. You go to the crystal ball gazer, you ask a question. Otherwise, they don't know where to look.
Yeah.
The question focuses your attention, your receptivity. Or you could say the intention. It's kind of the same thing, whether you say question or intention.
And that's a great point, because that's something I try and get out about this format, is that even if you're not calling in, if you're just out there listening while we're doing the show, the kind of intention that you bring to this hour,
right,
invites all kinds of synchronicities.
Sure.
And I'm always running into people who tell me, oh, I listen to the show all the time. I ask them, did you ever call in? And they say, no, but I'll sometimes like randomly pretend that the next question is going to be my question.
Right.
And I think that's great. I get a huge
that's
kick out of that.
And maybe they do have a question in the back of their mind, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us do. We're always thinking about things, you know, our problems usually, or, you know, of course, maybe we're thinking about how mad we are at somebody, or how frustrated, or we are at our work, or with our boss, or whatever it might be, or how we want something, to buy something, or get something, you know, stuff like that. But often we're reflecting, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, when there's a phrase, that we sometimes use, that I like to use, it's like, and the person says, well, I asked myself, you know, mm-hmm. what does this mean, for example? Or I asked myself, how could I do this? This thought, like I asked myself, is a divination question,
mm-hmm.
because it implies that there's something inside of you that knows more than you do already. Because otherwise, why would you ask? So it's like in business world, they talk about thinking outside the box. You have to go outside of the usual framework in order to get answers to your problems. Because if you could solve it within the already existing framework, you wouldn't have a question, you wouldn't have a problem. So by definition, in some way, either by using some non-rational, mean not irrational, but non-rational, or by using an altered state or heightened consciousness.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd like to jump into the divination we do here and give a little example and see how it's going to work.
Right.
Now, we have a CD of yours called, of music that you wrote and performed.
Right. Right.
Called Bardo Blues. That's
right.
Bardo Blues and
right.
Other Songs of Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And it has 10 songs, and we have those in the CD player, and we're going to be pressing shuffle function and picking one at random.
Picking one at random.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
what about the question?
Well, I'm going to ask a question.
You're going to ask a question.
So I'll start off this morning. Knowing that you were going to be on the air, mm-hmm. When I attended your talk, I was someone loaned me a book of yours,
right.
The Well of Remembrance,
right.
Rediscovering the Earth Wisdom Myths of Northern Europe.
Right.
And so I just opened.
It's all about divination too.
Yeah. Well, I opened it at random,
mm-hmm.
on one one page, and it opened up to page 236,
mm-hmm.
in which you're talking about 20th century rituals of reconciliation.
Wow.
And it made me think that...
Opening up a page at random in a book is in itself a kind of divination, too.
Exactly. It's what they call bibliomancy.
Right,
correct?
Yeah, exactly.
And in this, you're talking about the reconciliation of... I read two examples. One is of post-World War II generation Germans doing reconciliation with, I believe, pre-World War II German people.
With their parents' generation,
basically. Their parents' generation.
People born at the end of the war or after the war, but with their parents' generation who were involved in it and involved in the Nazi period of the war.
Right, and then also talking about reconciliation between North American Europeans and Native Americans.
Right,
and one of the things that that I think about each year, coming into it towards Thanksgiving, each year I have tried to do some kind of alternate holiday, and the holiday that the name that I've used for it is Guilt Fast, because I fast, and I think that it's important as part of the reconciliation to acknowledge the role or the inheritance that Northern American Europeans, or actually just Europeans on the American continents,
right?
You know what it is we've inherited, and you know, along
guilt
with
fast?
It. What?
What is it called? Guilt fast?
Guilt fast.
Guilt fast.
So fast and acknowledge the complicity, but people get sort of bent out of shape about the word guilt. So my question has to do with finding what a realistic and powerful and positive reconciliation ritual to replace Thanksgiving would be. So I'm going to pick a song at random. I'm just going to press shuffle function here, and we'll see what song comes up that will might give a reflection on this question of looking for a new ritual of reconciliation around North American genocide.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Here we go. Here comes the answer.
We come from the sun. We live
That was We Come From The Sun.
That's amazing.
Andrew, song.
I mean, I was actually slightly worried. I wonder if he's going to get a song that's totally irrelevant to the question.
It never
that's
happens.
That's probably the most relevant one.
So let me just recap, Mike. So that was from your CD, Bardo Blues and Other
right.
Songs of Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the answer to my question,
right.
Looking for an alternative ritual of reconciliation that's appropriate for replacing
civilization with the indigenous people. And at the same time, it answers another question, which is related to that first one, which is about... which also I talk about in my book, which is in my other books, particularly Green Psychology, but also in The Well of Remembrance, which is the reconciliation of humanity or human civilization with the natural world, which, of course, the indigenous people are much closer to the natural world, and that's one of the things we all of us learn. So shall I tell you a little bit about the background of that song?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that song is a medicine based on the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel is an integrative, a symbol of integration. So it has four points, you know, the four directions. It's like in the Eastern traditions, they call that a mandala, which is also integrative. And the four points are the four directions, and they can be four aspects of your being, four aspects of your personality, the four elements. It can have many, many, many different levels or layers of interpretation. And there are many, many different medicine wheels, you see. And in fact, I got this particular one from you think of it into four different aspects of your personality, for example. It could be that like that, or in a group, something like that. So I got the basic medicine wheel from a collection of medicine wheels from the Native American tradition, and then I turned it into a poem and then a song, and it's actually kind of there's a dance that goes along with it. I think when we were up on Port Townsend, where you were there, we did a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So in this medicine wheel, the movement starts. The sun is in the east, so and then you don't go around the circle; you go across, and you have the earth in the west, the sun in the east, or the earth in the west, and then the plants or trees in the south, and the animals in the north, and the human beings in the middle. So I call that the medicine wheel of the biosphere or great nature, and that describes the life processes on Earth. All life on Earth comes from the sun. The life energy comes from the sun, but it arises on the Earth. So that's, you know, Father, Son, Mother Earth. And then the two main kingdoms of life are the plants and the animals. I mean, there are others, but those are the two big ones that we're involved with. We're human beings are part of the animal kingdom. Because we are human, Homo sapiens is an animal, and then but we are symbiotically related to the plant kingdom, and we exchange carbon dioxide and oxygen with the plants, and we help propagate the plants, and they help feed us and nourishment and healing and give us all that kind of thing. So it's a basic biosphere web of life, and then human beings live right in the middle. So the song goes, we come from the sun. We live as the humans. We're born on the earth. We live as the humans. We grow with the trees. We live as the humans. We move with the animals. Because when you look at what's the essence of what trees do, what plants do, and what animals do, the essence of what plants do is grow. And they grow. Animals do grow too, but they develop in other ways. And animals are nature's great specialists in movement, all the different kinds of movements, so swimming, running, walking, flying, so forth. And then animals help the plants propagate by moving the seed to someplace else. See? And the plants help the animals survive by giving them food and nourishment and healing and sometimes vision, if you could take a visionary plant. So that was the idea, kind of weaving this web of life, always coming back to center. We live in this interconnected web of balanced relationship between sun energy, earth energy, plant energy, and animal energy.
And what would you? I have a couple of ideas of my own, but what would you say that song has to share in terms of offering a ritual of reconciliation?
Well, the doing a medicine wheel, doing medicine wheels are done as prayers,
mm-hmm.
and they can be they're done as prayers, as meditation, and
mm-hmm.
so that is in fact a ritual of reconciliation.
Oh.
I would say
yeah.
to to listen to the song, to take it in, to sing the song, to pray the song, to pray the words, to sing the songs, to celebrate the songs. And in my workshops, we can do it at a dance. You see, we go around in a circle and we sing the songs at the same time. We pray. So it's like a prayer. So it is a ritual of reconciliation.
Absolutely.
They're designed as that.
Yeah, that's
integration with the different parts of the biosphere.
That's perfect.
It's not so, and the connection to the indigenous people is because it comes, it is a ritual of reconciliation, integration that the indigenous people, Native North America, have been teaching us, you see.
Right.
So beautiful. Fantastic. I'm very impressed by your methods.
It always works. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, for myself, I would just, you know, the only thing that I, you know, telling me is, first of all, to learn from the, you know, to not, I guess, in some sense, not really get hung up on the labels of cultural appropriation, for one, but to actually, you know, to embrace learning from indigenous cultures.
Right.
And
which means just asking, you know, being humble and asking,
right.
you know, what they want to teach us, and sometimes Native Americans, you know, they don't like people coming and asking them, "No, you're always taking from us," you know, they experience it as taking. But then it depends on your attitude, and depends on how it's done, you know. If you humbly there and you collaborate, and maybe you ask them too how you can help, you see, because any relationship always has to involve reciprocity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so rather than saying, you know, can you give me your shamanic methods or something, you might say, you know, how are you? How can I help? Maybe you need some blankets or food or maybe a job or something, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll find some way to make a connection, like so the Native people, and you know, I've learned this from people that have done lawyer. For example, I had a lawyer friend who did a lot of legal work for some of the Native American tribes, and he said the basic things is always treat people with respect and with reciprocity, and pay attention to the relationship. What's the exchange? Who gets what and who gives what, and don't make assumptions, which is a good way motto for any kind of relationship.
Absolutely.
With other human beings and even with spirits. Like, say, you relate to spirits, you know, it's the same thing. You want to be respectful and don't make assumptions and come from your own center. You come from your own center, come from a place of a sincere heart. And that's all implicit in doing a prayer, song, poem, dance like that.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. So, well, that is a little example of how Radio 8 Ball works.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our next segment, we're going to have you, Ralph Metzner, ask a question of your own to the Pop Oracle, and we'll see how that comes out. So please stick around.
Do you have a caller in? You want to have a caller in?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Do that too.
Okay.
You want me to think of a question?
Yeah, we'll be
right
back.
I'll think of a question.
Cool.
Conscious Choice Magazine presents John Auer live at the Radio 8 Ball Show. Join us for an evening of musical epiphanies with a Northwest rock icon.
It's okay, yeah, it's all right. We can dig our graves tonight.
Let the Pop Oracle answer your questions and question your answers with music from John Auer's legendary career on Thursday, September 13th at the Capitol Hill Arts Center. For more information, go to CapitolHillArts.com.
He had cut himself off from everybody and withdrawn so completely into himself.
Theater Underground presents the award-winning stage adaptation of Dostoevsky's classic, Crime and Punishment.
For some time, he had ceased to concern himself with everyday affairs.
Seattle Times calls the 90-minute production ferocious and hard-hitting, while the PI raves that the performances are potent.
Listen to all her chatter about triviality.
Crime and Punishment runs Friday to Sundays at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at CapitolHillArts.com.
And then to have to extricate himself, lying and making excuses.
This is Sandman, the rapping cowboy. And Randy Wade Ball taught me to ride bull.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back to the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting those songs as the answers to the questions, like picking a musical tarot card. I'm your host, Andras Jones, and I'm here with Dr. Ralph Metzner. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So, do you have a question ready for the Pop Oracle?
All right, here we go. My question is this. What do we need to pay attention to, we as a society, what do we need to pay attention to in order to help us resolve the ongoing conflict in the Middle East?
To help us resolve the ongoing conflict in the Middle East.
Right.
Okay, what do we have to pay attention to? Here comes the answer from a song from your CD, Bardo Blues.
It's the song of the longing.
That was the song A Man and a Woman.
Wow.
From the Bardo Blues and Other Songs of Liberation from Ralph Metzner. And we're here with Ralph Metzner. That was the answer to his question.
Wow.
What do we need to pay attention to help resolve the conflict in the Middle East?
Wow. That really blows my mind.
Yeah?
Because what it's saying is, in order to, it's like what the hippies used to say, you know, make love, not war.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to pay attention to is the love of a man and a woman, the love of family for one another, and to promote that mm-hmm. rather than that's the goal of resolving the conflict. Now, the conflict, people that get into conflict, they have other goals, whatever they might be. So it's like pay attention to what's the underlying goal of life, you see. What does everybody want? People want to live in peace in order to be able to love one another and raise their children and their families in peace. It's not because they're opposed to war per se, you know, they want to be rebels or revolutionary or anti-anything. That's the difficulty about having an anti-war movement, you know. It's anti. So, but really, what do you really want? You want peace is not just the absence of war. It's living your life in a peaceful way, in a beautiful way, that where love can flow and creativity can unfold. And if you focus on that, you know, and put your attention, your intention and your energy and your attention into that, then gradually you withdraw your energy from, you know, going war in order to be right or to get something, or to get more land or to get more oil or to get more money or mm-hmm. whatever it is that you go to war for.
Well, I think it's interesting because the conflict in the Middle East is happening in the seat of the three sort of major patriarchal
right.
religions
yeah. right.
Of the last, you know, several thousand years,
couple
right. thousand
monotheistic years. Monotheistic religion, particularly. Right.
Right. And so it's interesting that the song, rather than sort of celebrating its opposite
mm-hmm.
in the sense of like a, you know, a goddess matriarchal
right.
opposition to this
right.
this balance of masculine
right.
and feminine.
Right.
And what it makes me think of is that, you know, in terms of the pop oracle giving a direct answer, how I interpret it, if you know, as if it was my question, which it is, what do we need to pay attention to help resolving the conflict in the Middle East, is actually that it's talking about the longing between the woman and the man, and that sort of lower chakra sexual energy, and so it made me think that what might make a difference is more people using their
sexual energy. I mean, longing is not just sexual.
Yeah, so
it's
integrated.
It's heart energy.
Right.
Know?
But that integrative,
yeah.
Full connection and basically using, I've been reading recently about sex magic and those kind of practices which put an intention into the union that happens there, and turning that intention towards peace, like what you're saying, like what do you want to call into your life, and somehow how I invite people to interpret is
right.
to interpret it
yeah.
always as if it was their own question.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
intend to practice more sex magic
based
yeah, upon this.
Go.
Based upon this. This
yeah,
answer.
See, you're like a hippie. Make love, not war. That was the motto.
Exactly.
Actually, I think it needs to be amended a little because, you know, there is a strand in the culture, in the collective consciousness. I'm not saying you have that, but I'm just reading in the collective consciousness to associate sex and violence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at television, for example, and the media images, the sex and violence often go together, and people get excited by both. And that's not going to lead to peace. Because that's just going to lead to more sex and more violence.
Well, it's interesting.
So, I think the motto should be make peace and then make love, not war. You know, so you do have to make peace in order to, you can't really make love to another person. I mean, you can have sex.
Mm-hmm.
You can rape, people rape somebody and that's called sex. It's not really sex. It's not love. It's a violent sex. So and you and I wouldn't be that, you know, and most people wouldn't be in favor of that kind of thing, but it does exist out there, you know. It's like people rape people in war, so it's like a part of war. So, but if you love another person, and then sexual expression can be a beautiful expression of that. And then and if you put your energy into that, then you wouldn't want to have conflicts, because that would be like, what would be the point, you see? Because you're sharing. You'd be willing to share something. If somebody, if the person you love asks you for something, you say, of course, have it, here. You know, what do you need? Do you need more food? Do you need more, you know, do you need a place to live? And
yeah.
So, like that.
It's interesting. Like, I like how you put that. It's, you make peace first and then make love, not war.
Right.
It's sort of like what it harkens back to my initial question, is
right.
First you need to have the reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
Which is the peacemaking,
mm-hmm.
the reconciliation
right.
with ourself, with right. the other, and with the natural world,
yep.
and then
treating the other with respect.
Right. And then once you've done that, mm-hmm. then it's sort of like, for, you know, first you have to cleanse mm. yourself. First, mm. you have to take before you can engage in lovemaking, mm. you first have to take a spiritual shower.
Sure.
And,
right.
and have peacemaking
right.
on the, you know, on the most basic level with,
right.
you know, with.
And the song has a kind of, it's a ballad, it has a kind of a dynamic into it, built into it, because it starts off, you know, the man and the woman standing at the door, and she's saying, I can't stand it anymore. And then they leave, you see, they split up. That's a classic statement. Every woman has made that statement. Every man probably too, maybe many times. You see, and then they talk about how much each one means to the other. You know, this love of yours brought me to my knees. I feel totally vulnerable. And then, then there's the line about I'll think of you forever, even after I'm dead. Because there's the point. You know, you have all these songs, I'll love you forever, until I die, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, and I think the indigenous people would agree, and the spiritual traditions would agree, love doesn't stop when you die. Now, of course, the love doesn't stop. So you love a person, and when somebody dies, they exist in the spirit world, and you still love them. Just like you can still, your parents and your ancestors are still your parents and your ancestors, even when they're in the spirit world. So you have that ongoing connection. And then the last two lines are like, go be like water, see, which means just keep it flowing. Keep it flowing. Don't get stuck on, you know, it has to be this way, it has to be that way. And then finally, the last line, you know, the wind says this, let it be. And let it be is a beautiful motto. That's why I like this, my favorite Beatles song, Let It Be. Because it's not like letting go. People say you have to let go. Well, you don't want to let go of somebody you love, because you want to be close to them,
mm-hmm.
so you can't let go. And but if you let be, you see, then that's just letting. It's just that, letting be, letting things be as they are. And then the person you love and that you have a conflict with may come closer, or they may go further away, or they may stay right where they are. So, and it's okay either way, you see. And it's a very peaceful place to be. You're at peace with the way the other person is, and that's true peace. You know, then you don't have to fight for something. You're content with what you have, and you're content to have the relationship that you have.
And I guess the song is saying that that's true, not only on the interpersonal level, but on
right.
the sort of global political level as well.
Right.
You know,
right? Yeah, make peace. That's what people mean when they say, you know, the peacemaking has to start with your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say even further, within yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're at peace within yourself, you can make peace in your family. And if your family is peaceful, then that'll radiate out into your community and your neighbors and your friends and your tribe and your community, and then also other tribes. Then you're coming from a place of sufficiency and peace and wanting to share and hospitality, the ancient traditions of hospitality. And somebody comes to visit you, you share with them. And see, the boundaries between countries would be the places where there's the greatest creativity and that unfolds, and the joyousness and the loving and you know, the opposites. The previously warring people would the tremendously strong tradition in literature and mythology and films and poetry and so forth about lovers from opposite warring tribes, like Romeo and Juliet, right?
Mm-hmm.
The families that fight, or the French and the Germans, or the Jews and the Arabs in Israel, you know, the love story of opposites. Like, they're wanting to say, well, okay, so our family, our society, our nations are fighting each other, but let's not, you and I, we love each other.
Right.
We want to make a baby like that. So it's a beautiful thing that human beings do, and it's going on all the time. You know, this tremendous fertile interaction between different countries in terms of music, for example, world music, in terms of cuisine, in terms of creative communication and learning and collaboration. And if we put our energies into that, then you know, this planet could be a paradise planet.
Yes.
It could be
yes.
an inspiration.
And that's a great way to bring that divination to a close. And I think it's time to open up the lines.
When Radio 8 Ball isn't on the air, I like to visit the online oracle at radio8ball.com, where there's always an answer, and sometimes I can sing along with it.
Oh, person, we're really missing you. It breaks all of our hearts to know that you just want to come on home. So come on home. The telephone, it just doesn't seem to...
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
In the absence of a call, I do have another question prepared.
All right.
And it has to do with something that Ralph spoke about at the talk that I saw you give in Port Townsend. You know what? I think we may have a caller on the line, in which case I'd want to take them. Let's see about this. The thing that you were talking about there was about the nature of spirits, but that may be a lead-in into this to this caller we have online. Let's bring them on the air. And hello, welcome to Radio 8 Ball.
Hi.
Hi, what's your handle? What shall we call you?
Roxanne.
Roxanne. Okay, Roxanne. What is your question for the Pop Oracle?
I want to know what the purpose of mental illness is.
What is the purpose of mental illness? Okay, that's a great question. I'm going to push shuffle function on Ralph CD Bardo Blues, and we'll see what we get as the answer. So please stay on the line.
Okay.
Here it comes.
Now the birth of knowledge.
that was Song of the Tree of My Life from Bardo Blues and Other Songs of Liberation from Dr. Ralph Metzner. And that was the answer to Roxanne's question, what is the purpose of mental illness? Are you with us, Roxanne?
Yeah.
So we only have a few minutes to address this, but I want to toss it over to Dr. Metzner.
Ralph, hear what she thinks.
Okay, great.
What comes up for her?
What comes up for you, Roxanne?
I guess it's a really beautiful song. It's really deep. I had a little trouble hearing some of it because I hadn't turned off the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting some static, but I just thought it was kind of a natural thing, not, and it was deep, you know, that I'd like to get that down again and hear it some more because I liked it a lot.
Well, soon I'll be telling you where you can get a hold of that. But, Ralph, what...
What did she say? I didn't quite hear what she said.
She said that it sounded like a natural thing.
Yeah.
And that it struck her as very deep, and she wants to hear it again. I find that sometimes when it's your question, it's hard to hear the answer right off the bat. It's sometimes good to hear what some other people's reflections are.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful. I would say that's exactly right on. It's just saying there is no other purpose to mental illness as such. It's just part of nature. It's part of nature that, you know, living organisms, whether they're trees or animals or human beings or whatever it is, they also get ill. They grow and they are healthy, and then they sometimes get ill, and then they recover from the illness and they get well again. And eventually they die, you know, from illness or accident or whatever, natural causes, as we call. But it's nature, and it's always growing. And our life is always growing, and like trees are always growing. And when you focus on that, you know, what's the growth? If you have a mental illness, it's maybe hard to see what's the growth in that. But there is a growth in it. And there are actually, you know, there's a movement within psychiatry represented by people like Ronald Lang and my friend Stan Grof. And others, for example, Stan Grof has developed this whole approach what he calls the stormy search for self, but many kinds of mental illness. And John Perry did the same thing with Jungian, can be seen as a process of the self trying to heal itself and trying to find its way in life, trying to find its way to its center, its own nature. And sometimes, you know, there are stormy passages that we have to go through on the path of growing and developing. And so that's how I would read that. You know, that answer to, you know, there's a purpose that has to do, if you're caught in a mental illness situation or somebody else close to you, there's a purpose that has to do with the growth of their life, you know, what they're encountering, the experiences, and how they're developing them, and how they're responding to the experiences in their life.
That's great, and I wish we could go into it more, because I feel like we could go into a whole conversation about eco-psychology, something that you've written about, and how connection with the natural world has a healing factor in terms of our psychology. And I would invite Roxanne to check out information about eco-psychology at Dr. Ralph Metzner's website, www.greenearthfound.org. I'll be telling you more about that in just a moment, so please stick around and we'll be right back. If you like what you're hearing and you want another chance to participate, a 2-hour non-commercial version of Radio 8 Ball can be heard Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on KAOS in Olympia, Washington, with me and my co-host Tammy T playing CDs on shuffle function as the answers to your questions. Give us a shake. Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at 89.3 FM in Olympia or at www.kaosradio.org. And that brings to a close this episode of the Radio 8 Ball Show. I want to thank our special guest, Dr. Ralph Metzner. You can find out more about Ralph Metzner's work including his CD Bardo Blues and Other Songs of Liberation, which provided the Oracle fodder today, at his website. Get your pencils ready. It's www.greenearthfound.org, as in Green Earth Foundation, I guess. greenearthfound.org, all one word. And I invite you to explore the world that is represented there. Next week's show will feature singer-songwriter John Auer, who will also be the live musical guest at the live Radio 8 Ball show at the Capitol Hill Arts Center next Thursday. And the show will be next Thursday at the same time. And until then, this is Andras Jones wishing you spine-tingling synchronicities, connection with the natural world, and all the inspiration you can handle.
Do you like this show? I do, and I love making it for you. If you'd like to support Radio 8 Ball, please take part in our continuing Patreon campaign by pledging $8 or more a month to our explorations of music and synchronicity here on Radio 8 Ball, and receive one of our synchromistic gifts as a thank you. The address is patreon.com/radio8ball. That's patreon.com/radio8ball. Thank you for your attention and for your support.